all stand and turn to 463. 463. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Pressing more closely to Him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our paths is this day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey above. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior.
Amen. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for coming this morning. Pastor is over in Phoenix. He got there okay, and so we want to be praying for him. And isn't this wonderful that he got away? You know, this is absolutely fantastic. Let's have a beginning prayer here. Roger, Delisle, you want to lead us in prayer? Amen. Thank you. Okay, we have scripture reading. Yes, sir. Yes, a report.
Okay, I'm doing
Thank you, Brother David, and the Lord bless you guys. And we'll continue in prayer, that's for sure, for you, okay? A scripture reading.
I'll be reading today the second half of the first Peter, and it goes along with what Sam was talking about today in Bible school. Suffering for being a Christian. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participated in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Before we have this next hymn, brother, I think we're going to have to sing Happy Birthday to Billy. She is kind of really looking forward to this.
Let's all turn to 429. I don't know if anyone knows this song, Amazing Grace. Nah. I'd be surprised if there's someone out there that doesn't know it. 429. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised. to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Brother David mentioned how God gave him grace, and he knows assuredly that his mom is in God's presence, in the Lord's presence. So that last verse said, we've no less days to sing God's praise. So let's sing praise God. Goes like this. Praise God, 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 praise God. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us?
Good morning, everyone. You know, I've asked my Lord and my God to keep the light that He's given me to shine forth daily. And that I want Him to use me as He will for His kingdom and for His glory, that I may be a witness for Him whithersoever I go. That you take my life to be used in a way that is worthy. Please.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moment and my days, let them flow in ceaseless grace. Let them flow in ceaseless grace. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always, always for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from me. Now take mine silver and mine gold, not a mite will I withhold. Take my intellect and everything that thou shalt do, every way that thou shalt do, I'll take my word and make it fine. It shall be no longer mine. Now take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be the royal throne. It shall be the royal throne. Now take my love, my Lord, I hold at thy feet the treasures too. Now take my soul, and I will be ever only all for thee. Now ever only, my Lord, for thee.
Praise you. Take me, Heavenly Father. Use me, Lord.
That's giving Jesus everything. That's a really nice song, Johnny. All right, let's all turn to 688 and we'll stand and sing all three verses. And if the ushers will come forward, then we'll pick up our morning offering.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me.
Amen. Brother Bob?
Hello? Yep. Yes.
It's been a while. I forgot what we did. It does tell us.
And this song was written by her.
Giving all he had to give. A message so easily read. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. I love you written in red.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then John 17 goes on to say, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A message so easily read. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. I love you written in red. I love you written in red. And the people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. What a beautiful message. Calvary, right? Calvary, written in red. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As you know, the pastor is in Phoenix, and so be praying for him that he just has a wonderful, wonderful time. You know, this is kind of a miracle in his life, isn't it? When does pastor ever give up his pulpit? Not very often. But thank you for coming out. And we were going to just have a good time here in the message this morning and in the message tonight. I know a lot of us are not used to coming out to church on Sunday evenings. But tonight we're going to speak about insights into the Great Commission. And what I have here in my Bible, too, is what we need is fat Christians. Faithful, available, teachable. Or sometimes hat Christians. Humble, available, teachable. You know? And so let's come out tonight and get some insights into the Great Commission. This morning, we are going to be in Ephesians Chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we are going to be considering this morning salvation by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And I thought this morning before that this message is available in every language. This Bible that I'm using this morning is the first Bible I ever had. As many of you know, I came to the Lord during the Second World War, in the Battle of Okinawa, reading a Gideon's New Testament. And you remember that I was born in New York City of people in the theater, theatrical people. I don't have any brothers and sisters. I don't have any living relative. But the Lord was merciful to me out there in reading Gideon's New Testament and coming to know the Lord Jesus. After the war, I ended up in Philadelphia, and I was baptized in the Church of the Open Door in Philadelphia. And my first Bible was this Bible. It goes back. It's a King James Version Bible, Scofield, and it goes back to 1946. So this Bible is my stability Bible for 68 years. And I have done a lot of studying and preaching and teaching from this Bible, and that's the one we're going to use this morning too. But as many of you know, we went to South America, and so it's kind of interesting. You change from one language to another. You kind of put aside your English Bible, and you pick up a Spanish Bible. So this is my longtime Spanish Bible that I've been using for 43 years. And I would ask your prayer, not this next weekend, but the next one. Lord willing, I will be up at Big Bear at a men's retreat. 26 men. Wow, in Spanish. And we're going to have this. So for 43 years, I was in this Bible and still am in this Bible in Spanish. And as you know, we turned from English to Spanish to Portuguese. So this is the Bible that I used on the Amazon River and in Brazil for 14 years. So you understand why I am mixed up, right? And so you understand that. Well, let's look at here in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll see if I can still see the print, okay? Gotta be challenging too. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, praise the Lord, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we look at this wonderful passage written by the Apostle Paul. And Lord, we ask you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Quicken our hearts, our minds, our lives, Lord, as we consider these truths in this wonderful passage. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject this morning, by grace alone, salvation by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And really, this is the problem of religion. This is the problem of the gospel. This is where false religions and false cults come down and fall down and do not have the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus coming and being born, the incarnation. Without the incarnation, there's no salvation. and Jesus coming and taking upon him our sins and dying on the cross and being raised from the dead and coming again. And now the Apostle Paul tells us what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised again according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. He was seen by the apostles. He was seen of 500 at once who were living even to that day. But this is not the gospel preached by many, many today, because it is by grace alone. Grace alone. We've seen how the grace of God, it is by faith alone, and it is by in Christ alone. Inside of this Bible that I have here, I have some interesting things here that I wrote. Remember that I've had this for 68 years, this Bible. And just in the beginning here, I notice a few things. Like, for example, here I have the most important day of my life, May 15th, 1945. Grace means not only the divine attitude toward us, but also the divine activity within us. There's an interesting thought. Over here, loving to be unknown. He that loseth his life shall find it. Purity of motive. Where there is self-consideration in your life, there is captivity. Where there is not self-mastery in the life, there is no going into his full inheritance. The death of Christ rids the sinner of his sins. The cross of Christ rids a believer of self. And then down here, grace is the loving favor of God, uncaused by anything external to himself. So here are, these are some of the truths that we find in this wonderful gospel of Christ. But let's just look at this. This really comes into three sections pretty well in this passage. If you have your Bibles, we have here verses 1-3. And our former condition, our past, the past in unbelief. Look at what this says here. And you hath he quickened, hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem with people today is they don't really believe that they're sinners. They don't believe that they have sinned against a holy God, one who loves them, John 3:16. But they don't believe that they are in need. They really think that they're pretty good. I am okay. I am okay. And you will never come to a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, unless the Holy Spirit convicts you that you are lost, that you're a sinner, that you're dead in trespasses and sins. And all have sinned. Look at this verse here. Verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world system, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I wrote down here, wow, look at this condition. Look at this condition without Christ. You walk, it's a walk. It's a lifestyle. You're walking without the Lord. And let's remember that our friends, that our neighbors, that our children and grandchildren, and hey, it's passing down to us when our great-grandchildren, which we have something like 18 of them or something, and they're without Christ. And so look at this. They have this walk according to the prince of the power of the air, which is identified in John's gospel as the enemy of Satan. You know, the prince of the power of the air. The power of the air. You know, I think too, we believe that God is sovereign over all. Amen? That God is sovereign over the nations of men. But it's interesting that God has yet given Satan a rope to go on. He still has influence over the nations of men. He is the prince of the power of the air. Really, he governs the governments of the world. You think of Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4, and Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world. He could offer Jesus the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. But here we have then, here we're thinking of people who are without Jesus. But they're so nice, you know, they're so lovely. My neighbors, my friends, they're sweet people. Yeah, according to the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, sin is disobedience. Sin is disobedience, and Paul is saying to these Ephesians, this is was your past life, among whom also, verse 3, we, Paul includes himself, we all had our conversation. You think of conversation as speaking, and of course that's true, but it's a lifestyle. It's a manner of living. We had all this kind of thing in time past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. Wow. And this is what we were, what we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our past condition, our walk, the children of disobedience, among we also, whom we also walk, and the way we fulfilled our life. And maybe the Lord has preserved you. If you've been brought up in a Christian home, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that you were delivered from a lot of this nonsense, right? And a lot of this sin. But if you weren't, that's okay too, because that's where I was, not brought up in a Christian norm. But if you were delivered from some of the rough stuff, be thankful to the Lord. Be thankful to the Lord. But this is still our nature. If we don't know the Lord, we're still children of disobedience, right? And we have this rebellion against the Lord. But then we come to this wonderful word, word here, but God. But God. Here, I'm in this condition, we're in this condition, hopeless, helpless. In Ephesians says, without hope, without life, dead in trespasses and sins, but God. God comes into the picture, and who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at this, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, wow, of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is so wonderful. His great love. God loves you. God loves you. God loves us. His great love. Even when we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins, he loved us, for God so loved the world. Then three times it has here, together, together, together. Look at this. Quickened us together with Christ. Raised us up together, you know, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that, when you see to that, what is the that therefore? That means for the purpose that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, right? His riches of his grace in his kindness through Jesus Christ. I love this. Look at these words here. Love. It has love. We have mercy. we have kindness, we have the riches of His grace. I was looking at some things here. Let me see if I can find them. For example, here's some thoughts about grace. This is from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a famous Baptist pastor in England. He was a revivalist. He was a pastor in the 18th century. And he speaks about grace, and he says, grace is the basis, grace the condition, grace the strain, grace the bulwark, grace the foundation, grace the topstone, the grace of God that saves us. And here, another, this is Schaeffer. This is therefore but one way to be saved, and that is by the power of God made possible through the sacrifice of Christ. The basis of salvation is always the death of Christ. The means is always faith. The object is always God. For by grace are you saved through faith. But what a wonderful thing here. We might say we have seen our past. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your present condition, right? You are together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. And in there is love and kindness and grace and mercy. There's a thought here that you've heard before, that God shows us mercy in that He does not give us what we deserve. Think about that. Mercy, that God does not give us what we deserve. We deserve separation from God. We are sinners. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. Mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. But grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And so here God doesn't give us what we do deserve, but God in grace giving us what we don't deserve, life and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful our position. What we have here in this second section is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. With His love, His kindness, we are seated with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? I was thinking of doing something a little different and just pausing a moment and thanking the Lord for our position in Christ. Let's do that, huh? Oh, our Father, we want to thank You. Thank You, Lord, that we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, and in His coming again. We are seated at the right hand of the Father, oh Lord, in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your kindness. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your love and care and Your sacrifice for us. Thank You for the mysteries that we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. In Your precious name, amen. But how then is possible this salvation? The how of salvation. And these famous verses that you have memorized, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, okay? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before prepared that we should walk in them. Good works are very important. Good works are very important. But we are not saved by good works. we are saved unto good works. And the problem with false religions, whatever the biggies or the littlies, or false cults, in every religion, false religion and false cult, the people are trying to save themselves. They are trying to save themselves by good works. Good works are very important. They are the evidence of fruit of a changed life. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when we're not necessarily fruit inspectors, but we want to see some change. There's a fellow in our park who's a worker. His name is Jose Gurrola. And he came to the Lord a couple of years ago, and I've been discipling him in Spanish. Well, a couple of weeks ago, his son Jesus, who has been in jail and had his problems, he made a profession of faith in Christ. And now I want to meet with him. I have a Gideon's New Testament to give him. And I want to see Jesus. But what I really want to see is a miracle. The miracle of God's working. That he's been born again of the Spirit of God. Right? There's evidence. And so Paul is saying here, yes, good works are important. James says in chapter 2 of James, yes, works are important. Good deeds are important. But you are not saved by good works. And a lot of people, they want to say, yes, Jesus died on the cross for me 99%, but I want to do 1%. No way, Jose. It's all by grace. It's all by God's love. And so we have here, for by grace are ye saved through faith alone, through faith alone, not of yourselves. And I've got down here, do I get it? Do I get it? Not of myself. Do you get it? Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a kind of interesting construction here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's kind of that. It's difficult to know whether that means faith or salvation. But actually it means both, right? Salvation is a gift of God, and faith is a gift from God. And it is a gift. Now, this gift business, is so hard. It's so hard to receive a gift and just say thank you. It is so hard because we're in a culture, we don't allow that. You know, we get a present for birthday, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and then we say, oh, nuts, I have to give that person a gift. We get a gift, we say, oh no, I have to give that person another gift. Person invites us to supper. God invite them for supper. We are always in a work mood. And it's so hard for us to say, thank you. Oh Lord, thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you into my heart as my personal Savior. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. So hard to say thank you, right? And for a gift freely given, but that is what it's about. And you cannot earn salvation. And he says the reason for that is pride. I'm okay, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He is the potter. I am the clay, right? And there is only salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we are created in him unto good works. And we are to have good works, but they are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, evidences in our life. We are to walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if you memorize and just your every day. Oh, Holy Spirit, I come, Lord, to walk in the Spirit that I might not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Oh, blessed Lord, yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and patience and kindness and meekness and self-control. Oh, be filled with the Spirit. Control me, blessed Holy Spirit, that I might walk and please you. That decision that we make moment by moment and day by day with our Lord. How important that we do that. I thought today, too, I would like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you are a person here who yet doubts your salvation, please say something like this prayer right now. Oh God, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior. I have sinned against you in word and thought and action. But now, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. I open my heart and life. Come in, Lord Jesus. Save me. Take possession of my life. I receive you right now, personally, as my personal Savior. Thank you for coming into my life. If you have made that prayer today and you've never done that before, would you keep your eyes closed and everybody, but would you raise your hand that you have accepted and done this prayer, that you have said this prayer? Okay, that means we're all believers here today. I would like to close with our eyes closed and still, but a commitment. You see, every day that we hear pastor's sermons, every day that we hear the Word of God, what I am praying these days is that it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, Lord, I ask you that this Word today would become grace and truth in my life. So as we sing this chorus, we're going to sing a chorus, and I think you know it. It's in a book too. And I just sing, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Oh, let's do that again and again. And Jesus, I adore you. I lay my life before you. So let's sing this little chorus, shall we?
Father, I adore you, lay my life before you, how I love you, Jesus, I adore.
Stand, please. And David, would you dismiss us, please, with benediction?
Dear Father, it's been so good to be here this morning, and thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to hear your word, Lord, and just hear about the grace that we've all received, Lord. Without grace, it is impossible to please you, dear. So we just ask you to help us to go out, Lord. mistaken.